Father God, we just pray, Lord, thank you so much for God today. Lord, thank you for the word that we put in your heart. Lord, as we bring your word to us, Lord, we pray that we take it outside of these walls and we share it with someone. And so we say, and
amen, amen, amen. God is awesome. Okay. Y'all stand up. I heard a story about a nun who was riding down the road and her car gave out of gas. So she walked to the nearest gas station and borrowed a can to get some gas, and they didn't have any cans. They were all in out. So she went back to her car and got a bedpan. Everybody at the gas station filled the bedpan up, and she was out of her car pouring the gas back in her car out of the bedpan. Two drunks happened by and said, if that thing cranks, I'm going to church Sunday. Well, guess what? God's ready to do some cranking. Amen. God's ready to do some cranking. I want you right now, I want you to just kind of find somebody, especially if you haven't seen them in a while or you haven't ever seen them, and shake their hands and tell them that God's in control. Go ahead. Go ahead. Find somebody. I may play that. Let me get you to play that one first before I even preach, okay? How you doing, young man?
What's happening, young lady? You're hanging in there.
What's happening, young man? What's happening? I'm doing good.
That didn't really sound
good. No, it didn't. She's going to hear about it, too. Not from me.
It's sad.
That's what you meant. I know what you said. I'm happy today. Praise the God because it's our 16th, first season. And she's gone. It's Casanova over there. The silver-tongued devil. All right. My brother.
On you.
Me.
Oh, God.
It's hot up there. God is awesome. I want you to get your books out to the book of Job. We're going to finish it up today. That's what we talked about, losing it all. This is what we're going to talk about, getting it back. How many want to get back something that the devil stole from you? Amen. How many want to get back something in their life that they need? Amen. The devil wants to steal, kill, and to destroy, but God's come that we might have life and we might have it more abundantly. Praise God. Give him a hand clap for that. Oh, come on. The book of Job. You got your Bible, say amen. If you don't say on me, all right. Pray for those ladies in Emmaus. They're having a ball. I saw them all last night. They are having a ball. I couldn't talk to them last night, but I saw them, and they're all having a good time in the Lord. Amen. They were excited. They all looked like, they were grinning like monkey eating briars. Amen. They were. My wife said, what's a monkey? I ain't never seen monkey eat briars. Well, if you haven't, you've missed something. Amen. Get your Bibles out to the book of Job, chapter 1. I'm going to go through chapter 1 just a little bit, and I'm going to go to chapter 2, and then we're going to go right into the message. Matter of fact, what we're going to do is probably I'm trying to decide whether to play a video before we actually go into the message. But here you go. Get your Bibles. You can remain seated because there's a lot to read. You can remain seated. Job chapter 1. If you can't find it, look in the back of your book in the want ads under John. I know, that was slack, I know. Now, my wife said, this is not a job I want, I can tell you. How many know how long Job was under this trial? How many give or take a guess? 9 months to a year. So this just wasn't a fly by night. You know, I'm feeling bad in my stomach and I need God to touch me tonight. And you get up in the morning, go to work, and everything's fine. This is 9 months to a year. And this wasn't just a casual pain or a casual loss. This man had suffered about as much loss as you can suffer. And again, we talked about last week that the book of Job examines tragedy from every aspect and from every side. Job chapter 1, verse 1, and there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and this man was a perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. And there was born unto him 7 sons and 7 daughters, and his substance also was 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels and 500 yoke of oxen and 500 she-asses and very great household. So this man was the greatest of all the men of the east. Shall say greatest. And his sons went and feasted in their houses every one his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. And it was so when the days of their feasting were gone about that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. Now, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro from the earth and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, no, the one that fears God and eschews evil? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? Has I not made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? And thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and the substance is increased in the land. Put forth thine hand from now, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power, only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. And there was a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing and asses feeding beside them. And the Sabians fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword. And I only am escaped to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came another and said, the fire of God has fallen from heaven and had burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them. I only am escaped alone to tell thee. And while he was yet speaking, there came another and said, the Chaldeans made out 3 bands and fell upon the camels and have carried them away. Yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword. I only am escaped to tell thee. And while he was yet speaking, there came another and said, thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And before there come a great, and behold, there come a great wind from the wilderness and smote the 4 corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead. And only am I escaped alone to tell thee. Now look, he doesn't even have a chance to recoup from the news of the first. I mean, here it is. He's even trying to process the news from the first tragedy. Then comes the second. While he's trying to process the first and the second, comes the third. And then while he's trying to process that, so he's not even getting a chance to process all that's going on around him while they keep on bringing information. Then Job arose, rent his mantle, shaved his head, and fell down upon the ground and worshiped, and said, naked I came out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And all this Job sinned not, and not charged God foolishly. Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said unto Satan, from whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, how hast thou considered my servant Job? There is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man. Look at this guy, still got the same testimony. When the feareth God and escheweth evil, and still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without a cause. Or without cause. And Satan answered, skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. But put forth thine hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his feet into his crown, and took a potsherd to scrape himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes. Then his wife said unto him, Dost thou still retain thy integrity? Curse God and die. But he said unto her, Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of the Lord, and shall we not receive evil? In all of this, did not Job sin with his lips? Now when Job's three friends heard of all this evil that came upon him, they came every one from his own place, Eliphaz the Temanite, and Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite, for they had made an appointment together to come to mourn with him and to comfort him. Y'all say comfort. Wow. Matter of fact, you can say comfort and go, uh-huh. Can somebody go, uh-huh? Okay, here we're going to go. First of all, before you go, I want us just to watch this video, and I want us to sing. It's got the words, so you can sing with it. But I just want you to get in the mood of what's going on in his life right now. It's done it again, ain't it? Done it again, amen. It worked fine until it got working. Praise God. It's a new computer, y'all, and we're still working on it. It's not, I won't say operator error because I'm not that crazy. I'm not like Stephen, who says his 6-month anniversary, praise God, she's gone. I know better than that. That's right. Okay, I'll tell you what, let's just go right straight to the sermon. You got it? Okay, here we go. All right, here we go.
Wiped our tears away, stepped in and saved him. Once again, I say amen.
And it's still raining as the thunder rolls, barely hear whisper through the wind, I'm with you. And as the mercy falls, I praise your hands, praise the God who gives and takes away. I'll praise you in this storm, I will lift my hands. You are who you are, no matter where I am, every tear I cry. Praise you in this storm. My cry to you, raise me up again. My strength is almost gone. Can I carry on if I can't find you? And as the thunder roars, praise your name, whisper through the rain, I'm with you. And as the mercy falls, raise my hands, praise the God who gives, takes away. Praise you in this storm, I'ma lift my hands. Who are you? You are, no matter where I am, every tear I cried, you hold in your hand. Never left my side, though my heart is torn. Raise you in the storm.
I lift my eyes unto
Good of heaven and earth, I lift my eyes unto the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, maker of heaven and earth. I'll praise you in this storm. I'll lift my hands. No matter who you are, no matter where I am, every tear I cry, you hold in your hand.
Wow. I will praise you in this storm. You know, everybody in here has suffered loss at one time or another, haven't you? Everybody in here, you know what it's like to lose a loved one, or you know what it's like to lose a job, or you know what it's like to lose whatever. Here's Job. He's lost family. He's lost friends. He's lost property. He's lost his job because that was part of his job. He's lost everything possibly that a man can lose. Job lost it, including his dignity in the world, that is. So he's lost it all. And so Job has lost everything. And this story tells us that in the middle of losing it all, God is still in control. And then God can take care of business for you. I'm gonna talk to you a little bit. Now, of course, this is when faith really counts. Getting your stuff back that you lost. And again, just a couple of slides from last week. Just a couple. Here it is. Job was an unlikely candidate because he was a man of character, a man of commodities, a man of commitment, and a man of consistency. He was right there. God had his hand on this man. But he didn't see the battle that was going on. We don't see the battle that's going on. Look at somebody say, you don't see everything that's coming against you today. Amen? Because Satan was there. And Satan has a purpose. Here's his purpose. Why is there suffering in the world? We talked about it last week, but still, just to keep us on board here. Satan seeks to alienate God from man by accusing man before God. But the Bible tells us there's therefore no condemnation to them that are in Jesus Christ. He also seeks to alienate man from God by tempting him with sin and with suffering. Your relationship with God is the most important relationship in your life. It's more important than your relationship with your spouse. It's more important than your relationship with your children. It's more important relationship with your co-workers and on your job. It is the most important relationship in your life because it's the glue that holds all the others together. And so Satan allows you to be hurt, allows you to bring suffering in your life because he wants to keep you from that relationship. He wants to keep you on the edge, keep your nerves shot. So instead of worshiping God, you're blaming God and blaming those around you. Don't doubt in the dark what God has shown you in the light. Amen? Remember the good times, and in the good times, it'll carry you through the bad times. Joseph, he prophesied of 7 years of plenty, then 7 years of bad, and the 7 years of plenty supplied the time of the 7 years of bad. Some of y'all in here, you had the 7 years of good, now you're going through the 7 years of bad, thinking God has forsaken you. He hadn't forsaken you. God is still in control. God is still calling the shots. He's still on the throne. So what did Job do? Well, what did Job do when he was handling this suffering? First, he ran to God instead of running away from him. He fell to his knees and he worshiped. He kept an eternal perspective on a temporal world. He said, naked I came from mother's womb, naked I will return. And he knew that God was for him, not against him. He said, the Lord's taken, The Lord's given, now the Lord has taken away. Remember, God whispers in our pleasures, but He shouts in our pain. He whispers in our pleasures, but He shouts in our pain. Look at somebody and tell them, say, I know what He's talking about. Tell somebody, I know what He's talking about. Amen. Been there, done that, bought a t-shirt. So here you go. Untold suffering. Now, over the whole book of Job, we could talk about it all year and never really, if we took every the next 52 Sundays and talked about Job, we couldn't cover it all. So I'm going to go real quick and just shoot through it. Number one, here's how bad he's suffering. Just in the first third or the third chapter, here's how bad the man's got it. It says he curses the day he was born. How many's ever said when you go through something, I wish I'd never been born? Amen. You ever said that? He said, I wish I'd never been born. Then he says, well, if I was going to be born, God couldn't I have at least died at my birth? This man's in a lot of pain. And then he says, why do I even continue living, God? This is awful. Just let me die. He didn't curse God, but he cursed the circumstance and he cursed himself. He said, God, I don't even need to be here. Just let me die and then just cover me up and then just put a marker over my head and a lily in my hand. God, this stuff here hurts. Some of you right now, you can say it. It hurts. You ain't got to say it out loud, or you can say it out loud, but I went to the room on three. One, two, three. It hurts. Amen. It hurts. The sleepless nights, the times that you don't can't figure out what's going on. And even after all that, Job said toward the middle of the book, my complaint is bitter, but my stroke is heavier than my groaning, meaning it's bad. You're hearing me talk about how bad it is, and you think it's bad coming out my lips. I wish I was never born, but it's worse than I'm even talking about. Inside is worse than I'm even letting on to. You see those people, you never know how bad they're hurting. Because on the inside they're hurting, but they won't tell you. Here's Job, here's the mighty man of God. He's hurting, and he's hurting so bad, he's letting people know he wished he'd never been born, but he still says, you just don't know the extent of the hurt inside of me. I've lost it all. Oh, I've heard people say, at least I got my health. Did he? No. Well, at least I got my job. Did he? No. Well, at least I got my children. Did he? My family? No. Well, at least I got my dignity in the community. Did he? No. Everything that could possibly hurt a man was hurting Job. Wow. So here's Job, and he's already hurting. And then his friends come to cheer him up. I've seen some people come to cheer me up, and I say, God, please place some heavenly duct tape on their mouth. Here he is, he's laying in the ashes, his friends come. They're going to console him. You know what he called them in chapter 16? He said, you're a bunch of miserable comforters. You're coming to cheer me up. And the word wearsome means, miserable means wearsome, means to make it heavier than it is, to make it worse than it is. Y'all have come to cheer me up, and thanks to you, it's even worse. Wow. So here, unfound comfort. I want to challenge you today with this. I'm going to do it quickly with the three comforters because you can talk about each one for a week and we're not. Quickly. But I was looking at the three comforters at what they were talking about, trying to sum it up. And the Lord spoke to me and said the three comforter statements are actually the arguments that Satan uses to slander you in your pain. It's the same arguments he uses every day to either slander you or get you to slander somebody else. Get ready. Here they are. First is Eliphaz with his supposed insight. You see somebody say, I got a direct line with God, and they can come talk to him. By the time they get talking to you, you wish you'd never even seen him. Here's Eliphaz. He's that kind. He's got some incorrect assumptions. Here's some arguments of Satan. If you're going through something today, I'm pretty sure you've heard one of his three arguments today. Get ready. Number one, innocent people never suffer. Well, he's just a big old ball of happy stuff, ain't he? If you were innocent before God, you wouldn't suffer a bit. That guy, whatever that guy's smoking, he needs to be arrested for it. All right, ready? Number two, you're being punished for your past sins. Oh, here we go. Some of y'all got real quiet, so I'm pretty sure y'all have heard one or two of those in the last day or so. Number three argument that Satan uses, and will use good Christian people to get you with it, is Job had sinned, and he was just in denial. You know you've done something wrong. You say you haven't. Oh, I bet you have. I live good before God. Yeah, let me say, I bet there's something. Then they go on a ghost hunt, a treasure hunt. They can't wait. Oh, there it is. That's Satan. Innocent people don't suffer. You're being punished for your past sins. Or you've just sinned and you're in denial. Wow. Has anybody ever heard those? Number two, Bildad. Old Bildad comes up. Well, he's the man. He says you're suffering because you refuse to repent. That means you're sackcloth and ashes. The universal symbol of repentance. He says you just refuse to repent. If you would repent, God would get you out of this. I'm telling you what. Tell me they ain't miserable comforters. And then, number three, old Zophar. Isn't Zophar the name of a Ford car? Or is it Zophar or something? It's something like that. I can see why it's a Ford there. Watch this. So far, so good. Okay. Job's sin deserves more suffering than he's experienced. Oh, that's nice. Well, I know it's bad, but it could be a whole lot worse. Oh, thanks a lot. Made me feel so much better. I had a person in my church when I first started pastoring, and I was very young at it, and I was trying my best to figure things out, and God helped me, show me, Lord. And I had somebody say, I thought was a wise person in God, so I carried him with me to help cheer somebody up. And as God is my witness, this person I can't remember now, whatever they had done, they had lost something. And that person, I'm waiting to hear these words of wisdom. She says, I talked to God. God talks to me. And I said, here we go, get ready. And she said, here's the woman now. I talked to God. He talks to me. And she goes, you don't know nothing. Whatever she had lost, she said, I lost twice as much. It didn't matter what anybody had. That's the way she lifts somebody up. If they lost a car, she said, you don't know nothing. I lost two cars. I know your kids acting up. You don't know nothing. My kid, I got four kids acting up. After about four times of that, guess who I didn't bring with me anymore? To cheer somebody up. People, when they're in need of answers and you don't have any, don't go through your little file and make them up. Just say, I don't know the answer either, but I'm here with you. And I'm standing by your side, and I'll pray with you for God to show you and tell you what you need to do. Then God sends a young man across named Eliahu. Eliahu, he was the closest one. Eliahu is trying to clear up what the three comforters. He said, God uses suffering to mold and to train you. So he's better on track. He's not some of this crazy mess, but God does. So let's watch this now. He is the comfortless comforters. And then you watch this thing, and there's a whole lot of discourse between his three buddies. I mean, they come back and forth and argue back and forth. They argue with Job. Job argues back. They're going back and forth, but that's the guts of what they talked about. And then you start seeing this thing and say, is there ever going to be any kind of difference? And Job even says, God, you don't even know how I feel because there's no days been between us. There's nobody that can say, you don't know what it is to know what pain is because you've never experienced pain. There's no days been between us. And of course, the daysman is Jesus Christ because he knows what it's like to be God and he knows what it's like to be man. And he can reach up with one hand and reach down with the other when he's on the cross. And he says, I can feel that pain. But at this time, Job had not known that. So the story of Job, let's go ahead and go to some good stuff. We've done hit some bad stuff. Let's go to some good stuff. Anybody ready for some good stuff? Somebody said, please pray on some good stuff. How many want to get it back? You've lost and you want to get it back. Job is not only a book of a lot of loss. and pain, but it's a book of hope and of great recovery. Now remember, Job hurt from 9 months to a year. He was about 70 years old. Now can you imagine? I'm 70 years old going through all this. Wow. It has got to be awful on the man. The Bible, but doctors have looked at it, and they've called it, some have called it the Black Plague, some of it called it Black Measles. There's all kinds of names they made for what he had, but they said the man would have had temperatures of 100, 4, 105 degrees, and his skin would be hurting so bad he had just to pop the bumps to try to get some relief. It hurts so bad. Now, I was thinking about that the other day. I had a little bump on my knee from a cut. I mean, it was a scrape, and it healed up, and then I got a bump on it full of something. So I went to the doctor, and I said, "Doc, what you think?" He said, "It's got to come off. I don't want it to get infected." I said, "Okay." He says, "Lay down." I lay down. And he said, "Get me the knife, nurse, the scalpel." She gets in the scalpel, and he just starts cutting. Size of a quarter. He just starts cutting. And I said, "Whoa, Doc, where's the pain medicine?" He cut again. I said, "You didn't hear me, did you?" He says, "Oh, it'll hurt worse with pain medicine." I said, "How?" He said, "Oh, it's all right." Really? He's got the knife. I got the leg. Yeah. So I asked him, and he said, he told his nurse to get some Band-Aids, and I told the nurse, "Then get me a change of wardrobe too, please." And I was thinking, just that little bitty cut, and I'm sitting here sounding like a little bitty girl in third grade screaming. And Job going through all this, just scraping to get the stuff to get some relief. Watch this. Here's a promise from God. Job didn't know this promise, but Job found his promise. He lived the promise. Watch this. Joel 2:25 says, "I will restore to you the years that the swarming locusts have eaten, the crawling locusts, and the consuming locusts, and the chewing locusts, a great army, which I sent among you, I'm going to restore." Watch this. What he's saying is, in all stages of attack, I want you to say this. Say this with me. In all stages of attack, I'm coming back. Come on, one more time. In all stages of attack, I'm coming back. Y'all can be louder than that. In all stages of attack, I'm coming back. Praise God. Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. God is able. Amen. So here we go. Here we go. Recovery mode. How many like being in recovery mode? It's a whole lot better. You know, a lot of times God allows things to happen also in our life just to see how serious we are. Are you serious? Are you going to put the boots on the ground? Are you going to stay in and fight? Or are you going to run and climb under the porch? What are you going to do? He lets these things come away. But here we go. Watch this. First thing he did, and this is going to be quick, I promise. First thing Job did, Job chapter 40, verse 6, God is talking to Job. He's hurting. And he's talking to God, and he's arguing to God about how he's feeling. And as he's arguing to God about how he's feeling, then God tells him, he calls out the whirlwind, and he starts talking to him. He says, "Where were you when I created the earth? Where were you when all this stuff went down? Where were you when I was taking care of business?" So Job thought about that thing. And as he thought about that thing in chapter 42, he's done thought about this thing now. And he says, Job answered the Lord and said, "I know that you can do all things. No plan of yours can ever be thwarted. I know that you can do all things. Nobody can mess up what you got planned for my life." You know, I had somebody one time tell me, he said, "I've messed up God's plan for my life." Can I tell you something? You are not that powerful. Oh, come on, y'all. That should have been shouting territory. I've blown it. I've messed up God's plan for my life. You are not that powerful. If God's got something he wants you to do, he will allow you to go through the fire so you'll be ready when what you got to do has got to be done. Amen. He's going to have you ready when things get tough. You're going to know how to stand because you've already been through the fire. You've been tested and you've been proven. So it's this. The first step in overcoming life's difficulties is look up to God in faith. Here's Job. He's looking at his friends. He's looking at his wife. He's lost it all. And now he starts looking to God. He looks up and he says, "Okay, God, I know you got this. And you got to believe that he's going to work out everything." Look at somebody and tell them, listen, look at somebody and tell them, "You're not powerful enough to stop God's will in your life." Tell them. Praise God. So here we go. First, look up. Secondly, it's all here in chapter 42. Look in. He confessed his own sins. He said, wherefore I abhor myself and I repent in dust and ashes. You know, no matter what we're going through, even if you know you're innocent, you still need to stop and talk to God and say, God, show me. What is it in me that needs to be changed? What is it in me that you need? Most of the time when I'm praying for God to change somebody else, most of the time it winds up changing me. Well, come on, y'all. Might not like it, but it happens. God, I need you to change that person. And God says, okay. And it's you that changed. You know, sometimes I've learned that sometimes I got to choose my battles wisely. Sometimes I'm fighting stuff I have no business fighting. I'm getting mad about stuff I got no business getting mad about. My mind's all taken out of course because I'm watching this one thing right here. You know, it's sort of, how many remember watching the Tim Allen when he was the Shaggy DA in the Disney movie? And whenever he turned into the dog, somebody started throwing a frisbee. He'd go, I'm not chasing it. And they throw it, he'd go right after it. I'm not chasing that car. Boom. Well, Satan knows many times. We say, we're not going to do it again. And here he goes. And we do it again. Satan wants to distract us from what we're really supposed to be doing for God. So we need to evaluate our condition of our heart. Then number three, I've told you it's not going to be long. Number three, I want you to look out. That's what he did. He looked out. Job prayed for his friends. Sometimes this is one of the hardest things of all. I was in Friday. I had just left somebody. Yeah. I know, a surprise. I was in Starbucks and I set down my computer and I'm getting ready to work. DC's calling me. He's in Virginia. He needs something. So I'm trying to find what he wants so I can work back on my sermon. So I'm getting what he wants. I'm trying to work on my sermon. And this girl comes by and she's kind of like the counterpart of me. She was tall and not so skinny. And she walked by and knocked my table, about knocked me over. And I said, Lord, can she see? Then she walked a little further and she kicked over a table. Kicked a chair. And that place, the where I was at, out there by Krispy Kreme, that place is so loud. And it went, and I'm still trying to type. I'm typing about Job, something getting on Job's nerves. And I'm going, And then she gets up and almost douses me with a big old cup of water. And I said, Lord, what is going on? And he said, you're looking at you, son. And I said, ouch. My wife affectionately calls me a big ox. And it's not because I got horns and wear a bell. And so I'm sitting there, and then the Lord says, I said, Lord, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Dad, I know people see me do that all the time. Knock stuff over, knock over everything. I'm sorry, Lord. And while I'm saying I'm sorry, I look over, and she's just drinking water, and her boyfriend hasn't got anything. And the Lord says, now go buy her coffee. I said, really? He says, again, go buy her coffee. And I said, well, she's got a boyfriend. He said, buy him some too. And I said, well, Lord, he kept saying, go buy her coffee. So I got up and I walked to the table and there she was and her boyfriend. I said, can I get y'all a coffee? And he looked at me like, who are you? And I said, me and Lord just been talking. He told me I need to go buy you some coffee. And she went, no, I don't want any. The guy said, no, me neither. And so I turned around and started walking and go, thank God. And I heard the Lord say, buy him a cup of coffee. So I turned back around and I said, are y'all going to rob me of my blessing? She said, well, in that case, I thought they were going to do like me and order a coffee that's like $2 because it's small and it's the smallest thing they got. And I get it black, put sugar in it. She said, well, in that case, she ordered one about that big with everything in it. So I turned to her boyfriend. I was going, okay. And I turned around and said, she just ordered a $6 cup of coffee, Lord. All right. God ain't robbed that blessing. You're not robbing my blessing over here for sure. So I turn over to him and goes, I don't know. Let's see. So she got the hot version, $6. He got the cold version, $6. And I said, I'll go get him. I'll be right back. And so I walked back. I said, Lord, this. And I walked back over and I set him down and I just walked away. I said, God loves you. And I walked away. And he comes over to my table and says, what do you do? I started telling him, well, my hobby is eating crow. And I said, I'm a pastor. He says, oh, where at? And I told him. And he says, Edward, is that in North Carolina? Yes. We got it hid so not everybody will know about it. We want to keep it a secret. It's so awesome. And I gave him a card. And when he walked out, he looked at me. And he looked at me, come walk at me. The Lord said, now I want you to bless him. Bless him. I didn't know exactly what he meant. I did not know. He walked to me and looked at me with these big eyes and he said, thank you so much. And I looked at him and said, God has a blessing out there with your name on it. You get ready. It's coming. And when it comes, it's going to be awesome. And I saw. And he just walked away. And of course, I told her something similar as she walked away, but at the same time, again, I looked out. I was even writing, look out. Lord, take care of that girl. She's knocking everything over. And God says, I'm going to show you what Job did to his comforters, okay? He was not self-absorbed in his own pain. He still could do this because he cared for others. So he prays for his friends. And then he looked ahead. You see, Job had lost a lot. His heart was filled with pain. And the pain in his heart was so great, words could not describe it. He said, my hurt is much worse than words could describe. But he looked ahead with hope in God. Now, watch this. The Bible says that when he prayed for his friends, God turned around his suffering. Matter of fact, I like this. It says in verse 10, and the Lord turned the captivity of Job, and when he prayed for his friends, also the Lord gave him twice as much as he had before. So all of his substance, he got back twice as much. The only thing he didn't get but twice as much is his kids. He had 3 daughters and 7 sons. He gets back 3 daughters and 7 sons. No, if God is going to give him back double for his trouble, why did he give him back double all of his livestock and all of his lands and all of everything? He only gave him back 3 sons or 7 sons and $3. You see, all the other stuff is just stuff. We get all caught up in stuff. It's just stuff. But the 7 sons and 3 daughters were souls. When you get to the other side, you're not going to see his stuff. But when he died, he would listen. He would see in heaven on his way up 7 sons and 3 daughters. And he was carrying with him 7 sons and 3 daughters. Wow. So in eternity, he had 14 sons and 6 daughters. Wow. Isn't that awesome? But I want you to watch this scripture right here. This is so awesome. Isaiah 61:3 says, I will give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Now you got to understand something here. The crown is, well, in fact, it's in one of the translations, it says a crown of beauty instead of ashes. On top of his head was ashes because he was in mourning. And God was going to take this crown, this bow of rejoicing with flowers in it, sort of like a victor's wreath. And he was going to put it in on his head instead of the ashes in mourning. And then, instead of him being down and out with the spirit of heaviness, depressed, God was going to lift him up with a garment of praise. And then, oh, it's awesome. And then, so he's got the oil of gladness and he's got the garment of praise instead of despair. Now watch this. I love this. Well, how do we know he actually did that? Watch why he named his daughters. Didn't show his son's names, just his daughter's names. This is so awesome. Just one deer. He can hit the back button on that. There you go. Thank you. Jemima, y'all thought that was just pancake mix, didn't you? Although they are happy flapjacks, amen. Jemima means day or dove. The peace that God gives, he gives day in place of night, peace instead of turmoil. So his first daughter, he says, God is turning things around. All this 9 months to a year of all this bad stuff happening to me, I can see daylight now. I'm starting to feel that peace again. Noah, when the dove came with the olive branch, he knew things were going to be okay. Let me tell you something. Today, you may not have seen it, but you look for it. God's sending you a Jemima. God's breaking forth. If you look really good, you'll see that God's breaking forth. Weeping endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. God is working your day. God is bringing your dove, Jemima. Number two, Kizia, which means fragrance. Fragrance, the sweetness of God gives us in the bitter times. Sorrow replaced with the sweet smell of his grace. Wow. Here's a man that lost it all. God's starting to bring it back. He sees the daylight. He starts to feel peace. And as he starts seeing that it's getting up and it's picking back up, it's momentum and it's starting to roll. Now all of a sudden he smells the sweet smell of grace. Wow. If some of y'all in here right now could just go, lift up your head from tears and pick up that head and just go, you can smell God's doing something for you. Number three. Karen Hapak. Box of eye paint. No, that's not Maybelline. Box of eye paint. What's that got to do with anything? That's an expensive eyeshadow. Speaks to the beauty God gives for the ashes of our grief. So here's a man that lost it all. In any way you want to look at it, he lost it all. You couldn't look at him and say, well, at least you got this. Because you couldn't even look at that. Well, at least you got your wife. She was messing him up. He had nothing. His friends, he had nothing. But God. But God gave him breakthrough. Gave him peace. His life became sweet again. And he got that countenance changed. Ah, oh, awesome. 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 Job is praising God for God has replaced his wretchedness with glory. I left you with this last week. I'm going to leave you with it this week. Bitterness comes to us all. It sours some. It sweetens others. I want it to sweeten my spirit. Soften my old hard heart at times. God, soften it. And then sweeten it. And then rebuild it strong again. I thank you, Lord. Go ahead and play the next one. Yeah, next video. You may be here today. And you may be in that 9 month period, so to speak, where you're losing it all. You feel like everything's being taken away. If you can just stop and begin to praise God in your storm and begin to look up to God. When Job looked up to God, and then he looked out to his friends. God began to change something. Look up to God. Look out to the ones causing you pain. Pray for them. Watch what God can do. God is awesome, awesome, awesome. Our God is awesome, awesome, awesome. Anything you need, anytime you need it, God has got it for us. All you got to do is trust him to take care of business. I want everybody to stand. Everybody stand, please. You may be here today and you feel like you've lost it all. You may feel like Nothing is going right. You may feel like God has abandoned you. He hadn't. He's watching. He sees. He knows. He understands. Trust Him to bring that daybreak. Trust Him to bring that peace. Trust Him to bring that sweet fragrance. Trust Him to change your countenance. Trust Him. Trust Him. Trust Him. Trust Him. If you're here right now and you're needing to see some breakthrough, you're needing to see that dawning, you need to see God do something, I'm going to invite you to start coming up. Just start coming on up. God, I'm ready to see daybreak. I'm ready to see the dove. I'm ready to smell that cinnamon. I'm ready, God. I'm ready for that change in my countenance. I'm inviting you right now. Come on up. God, I'm ready. God, I'm ready. God, I'm ready. I've been on the other end of the trial. Now I'm ready to see this end of the trial. I'm ready to see that breakthrough. I'm ready. Job saw that breakthrough. The Bible says, yes, he had twice as much as he did before. But the proof that not only did God replace him physically, but the proof is that God replaced him spiritually and mentally and emotionally is shown in the names of his daughters. God did something. God did something nobody else could do. This man's hurting. Trust him. Trust him. Trust him. Trust him. Praise him. God's got this. God's got this. You haven't served him in vain. You got another need, I invite you to come right now. You need to talk to God about anything, I invite you to come. You need to talk to God about anything, I invite you to come. I invite you to speak to him, to talk to him. God's in control. God's in control. God's in control. Thank you, Father. Glory to the Lamb. Come on and pray. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Jemima, daybreak, dove, peace. Thank you for the daybreak, God. Thank you for the peace. Thank you, God, for that fragrance of grace, the fragrance of the cross applied to my situation. Thank you, Father, for changing my countenance, changing my attitude. Thank you, Father. Glory. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. You're an awesome God. You're a powerful God. You have more than enough. You have more than enough. You are able, God. You have creative power. You can just speak the word, and whatever we need is taken care of. It's taken care of. Thank you, Father. Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory to the Lamb of God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Glory to the Lamb of God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Worship Him, church. Worship Him, church. Thank Him, church. Come on. Come on. Put those hands up. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. You're already there. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Put up those hands and just thank Him. Just thank Him. Just thank Him. Thank Him that He took care of you. Thank Him that He watched over you. And even though you don't feel it right now, thank Him for daybreak. Thank Him for the love, and thank Him for the power, and thank Him for the peace. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. He's already there. He already sees it. Matter of fact, God's already seen the end. He didn't just peep and see the end. He's there already. He's in the end and the beginning at the same time, all at the same time. He was there before you took your first breath. He's going to be there after you take your last breath. He's going to be there when you stand before Him in judgment, when you stand before Him in glory, when you stand before Him at the Bema. God's already there. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Come back tonight. Something special is going to take place. We got to go get those ladies tonight. I couldn't talk to them last night, but I saw them, and they were all very excited. I know you say, how come I didn't talk to them? You can't believe it. Believe it, I didn't. Didn't mean I didn't talk. I talked a lot. I just didn't talk to them. Just know that if I'm walking, I'm talking. Amen. It's hooked together, my legs and my mouth. Just, yeah, that's right. Come on up here, dear. God is awesome. God is awesome. God is awesome. All the time, God is. On your way out, look at somebody. If you see somebody you've never seen before, stop and introduce yourself. You know what? You may make a brand new friend today. Wouldn't that be cool? A brand new friend. It may be a friend for life. Isn't that cool? Amen.
I'd like to be brand new.
Yeah, it wouldn't hurt. Yeah, it wouldn't hurt to be brand new, would it? Praise God. That's one thing I can't wait to get. When we get to the side and leave all this other stuff behind, it's going to be so awesome. Amen. God is so, so, so awesome. Amen. Brother Brandon, will you dismiss us in prayer, please?